Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bringing it to him all day. All day. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. Always. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. Tune in. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Yeah, yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Birdland.
Now, here come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, Next Generation of Baltimore Sports Talk. I am your endearingly stuttering host. As always, I'm joined by the button lover, Josh Soroka.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
Oh, I'm all right. Coming off a disappointing weekend against Tampa Bay, but I'm hanging in there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that was the frustrating thing, is it was missed opportunities, and we had a chance where we went in, especially going in Friday night, real strong. I think there was hope that we could take the series like we did the weekend before with Toronto, or the week before.
Yeah, we had a couple shots at it, but didn't work out. But see, it's a long season. It's a lot of games left to be played. Now going up against Toronto, we'll see where this thing goes. But
we're in the middle of Ravens preseason games, and I don't care because we've got meaningful baseball in Baltimore. And we didn't see it coming this year. No one did.
When that first, had they played their second preseason game yet?
No, just the first one.
Yeah, I literally did not know about the first one until after it happened.
It's only because I produce film study that I know anything right now about the Ravens.
Yeah. Which is great, which is how it should be. And we haven't even gotten into all of I feel like this time last year, the only thing we'd be waiting for is to call up Jamai Jones or talk about the off season. And right now, we're not talking about calling up Jamai Jones. We're talking about calling up Gunnar Henderson, who's definitively not Jamai Jones. And we got a team, obviously. It's fun to talk about the call-up still, but we got a team that we're putting out there every day that's competitive. And that's all we could ask for this season. So I'm trying my best, even despite the recent struggles, to enjoy the ride, because this is a unique, fun team, and I think this will always be remembered kind of as the beginning of a new era of Orioles baseball. So I'm just enjoying the ride.
I agree. I also wouldn't really call this struggles. We lost two. We lost one series. We won the series before this. I mean, yesterday's game was frustrating because the Orioles did nothing until the ninth inning. And even Saturday, being in person, both games were frustrating because I went out to Tampa, had a great time on Friday night. Great win by the Orioles, lots of runs, blowouts, to the point that the Rays fans are in the bathrooms yelling, "This team's an effing embarrassment."
Well, they brought in the position player to throw 45 miles per hour.
Got to 37.
Okay, it still boggles my mind why you can't throw 60 miles per hour. I never will understand that.
Because I think they tell you I think when they put a position player in there, they tell them to just lob it in there. They don't want it to hurt their arm or something.
Josh, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You're telling me when pitchers when I'm watching from the sideline before the game starts and they're tossing the ball back and forth, they're throwing the ball harder, just tossing the ball back and forth.
I know.
Than they are when they go into pitch. You don't have to throw 100 miles per hour, but you can't just throw you're tossing the ball.
Right.
I could literally go out there and throw harder.
But do you think you'd throw a strike?
Yes. I could throw strikes.
Do you think there's a speed limit where 40 miles an hour, it's hard to hit a home run off a 40 mile per hour pitch? What speed do they toss the home run derby at?
Yeah, yeah. I would say it's like, you know, like I would say like, it's like 70 or 60, right. 60 and
so
70.
So you think part of it is if you throw up in that 60, 70, guys are just going to tee off you.
Yeah, and I guess maybe that, and maybe it's like, you know, if you go play softball and then go play baseball, maybe it throws off your timing. Maybe they're hoping the timing gets a little thrown off the next time they play
37 mile an hour pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's embarrassing whenever you need a position player to
And that
pitch.
Game was what? That was like a 4 or 5 run game. It wasn't when they brought in the position player. That was...
Wasn't it like 10 to 2?
Oh, I didn't think it was that much. I thought it was no more than 6. But we can go back and check. I mean, after the fact it was, but I think when they brought him in...
No, that was the end of the game. They didn't score any extra runs on the position player.
We didn't get any runs on the position player?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Because I think once the position player goes in... I think even the batters aren't even trying. And you're like, because the final score was 10 to 3. We scored one run in the ninth.
Okay.
So it was 9 to 3 at the time. Which, what I don't get is, now it paid off for the Rays, I guess, but because they won the next two. But I don't get putting in a position player in a 6-run game with the playoffs on the line. Like, I know they're not on the line. I know there's lots of baseball to play. But you're talking about a division rival and your six runs. Like,
yeah,
I hope
I
that
thought
when
they had
the Orioles are down six,
and stuff.
They're still trying. Right.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple things I want to get to in today's show. I want to talk about D.L. Hall, of course.
I saw him in person.
What's that?
I got to see him in person.
You guys see him in person. Exciting. We talk about both his performance and also how the Orioles used him, opening up on the road, and then his future, right. And how they're going to use him in the future, which is interesting. Yes. We can also get to, I'm really kind of befuddled recently by manager Hyde's lineup construction. I'm not really understanding what him, and maybe it's also Mike Elias. No. I don't know who makes lineups.
No. It's confusing as anything.
I don't really understand what's happening there, so I want to get to that
Saturdays,
too.
Saturdays was irritating, and Sundays was irritating because of the construction. So I'm all with you for let's talk about this lineup breakdown.
Yeah.
I even don't get tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, I really don't get any of them, to be honest. And this is coming in the... I mean, especially when you talk about a... and let's just, I guess, start there, and then we'll go back and get to D.L. Hall. But Sundays, right. In particular, because you felt like, I mean, we all said it, this is like the biggest game since 2016. This is a huge game because it controlled the tiebreaker with Tampa Bay. So if you end up tied, there's no one game 163. You know, the winner of this game gets the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what's on the line. And you throw out a lineup of, here was a lineup. It was Mullins, Rutschman, Santander, which is a good top three. I'll take Mullins, Rutschman, Santander, top three all day.
I like that. I love Rutschman in the two hole. Yeah. I like that a lot.
And then number four, Urias. I don't understand
the whole four hole the past month.
Yeah, I don't want Urias there, but whatever.
Well, Mancini left. They don't know what to do with it.
Right. And that is, Josh, you look at the glaring hole in this team. We're seeing tonight's lineup where the obvious, like, ooh, that looks weird, is Nevin at DH batting ninth.
Yeah.
And the only reason that's happening is because Trey Mancini's not here. This lineup would be, and that's my whole argument before, like, forget about the good story. Oh, he's such a good story. You can't try. No, like, he's a good player and we need him in our lineup.
Well, here's the difference. The difference is we're talking 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, really. What's today? Like the 15th, 16th? 2.5 weeks ago. And they traded Trey Mancini for a simple answer of Elias thought that when we go into this stretch of Toronto, Tampa, Toronto, this team's going to fall apart and not going to still be in it. And here we are 2 weeks later, and the team is still in it.
Yep, and you hear the quote from Mike Elias on Sirius XM Radio where he said he thinks the Orioles are going to make the playoffs now.
Yeah, well, if you thought you were going to make the playoffs 2 weeks ago, Mancini would have been helpful right now.
But he didn't.
I get it. He didn't.
But now he does.
I like his other quotes, and we're going to have to break down some of his quotes. But how much do you think that is? He felt that the energy from the players about the negative thing he said before, saying he didn't believe in his players.
Yeah, clearly. But if you look at the rest of the lineup, like, so Urias, Flatten, Ford.
Do you think he? Well, hold on. Yeah. But my question is, does he really believe the Orioles are going to make the playoffs, or did he get such negative pushback that he's now just publicly saying he thinks they're going to make it?
Yeah, I mean,
he's making all the moves as if they're not going to make it.
Yeah, I mean, this feels like a team, and this goes back to lineup construction and also the roster construction. This feels like a team that's like, I don't know. It's like it doesn't know what it wants to be. It's like a middle schooler searching for its identity before it blooms into a beautiful high schooler. Like, this is a team that, like, is kind of there but doesn't want to fully embrace being there. So it's in this awkward in-between stage. Right?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. But the weird thing is, we have some parts that are ready to go that we could bring up if we thought we were making the playoffs this year, if we wanted to make the push. And the question is, does Elias believe that or not? Because he's every move he shows that he doesn't believe that, he can go ahead and go on TV and say he believes it, or go on XM radio and say he believes it. But the moves, you know, it's the whole, show me by actions. Let me see your actions. Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah, because we shared last episode.
And we have Nevins in our DH hole.
We shared last episode his quotes about how his roster construction is going to be kind of based off, you know, being competitive this year and what we need to do to win. But you can't say that, and you can't also show me the lineup, you know, from the biggest game of the year on Sunday or from today's lineup. You can't look at that lineup, look at our whole roster and say, this is the very best lineup we can put in the field. You can't say that. It's not the best lineup.
No.
We can make a better lineup than this with given what we have on this team. So I don't want to hear that. So finishing up, the Odor was batting fifth.
Now there's been a lot of hate for Odor lately. But when you look at the stats, Odor has been batting the past month better than Austin Hayes. Better than Ryan Mountcastle. He's getting on base. I believe, was it Sunday or Saturday that he got four hits?
I think that was
in this
Friday.
Was it Friday? I think no. Friday, Mateo got five. I believe Odor got four on Saturday. I believe this is the lineup you're tearing down. Odor got four.
No, he got four on, I'm just looking at it right now. He got four on Friday and two on Saturday.
Okay. All right.
Along with a walk. So, yeah, he got base. He got on base seven times in two games.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Right. So, Odor's been really lighting it up lately.
Yeah. He had a good series.
Right. He still had that game where he almost tried to lose the game, but then he got that two-run shot last week to win the game.
Yeah, and then the rest of the lineup is Hayes, Mateo. I'm sorry, no, that's not right. That's today's lineup. But the rest of the lineup on Sunday, the biggest game since 2016, after Odor, you have Hayes, Mateo, Nevin, and Phillips. I mean, Nevin's is batting 201, Phillips 145.
Phillips.
Yeah.
Phillips should not be on this team. Phillips was in that lineup on Sunday not to help the Orioles win. Phillips was in that lineup because you're in Tampa, and everybody loves Phillips in Tampa. You should not construct a baseball team when you're fighting for playoffs based on everybody likes this guy. He shouldn't be on the team.
No,
I don't understand the Phillips move.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And if you want to make some kind of weird argument that you want him to be this defensive replacement guy in the ninth inning, okay, maybe you can convince me of that. But you cannot convince me that he should be starting any game. Oh, and by the way, their manager Hyde loves the splits. He loves the splits. Yes. So you want to get a lefty in there against a righty, another lefty at bat. And pointing out the obvious, if you want to construct your best lineup, Kyle Stowers is a better player right now offensively than Phillips, and it's not even close. So Kyle Stowers should be there over Phillips, and it's not even close. Now, if you want to say, we're still in development stage and we're still in rebuilding mode and we still need Kyle Stowers to develop, that's one argument. But don't tell me that you're putting on the best lineup when you're putting Brett Phillips over there when Kyle Stowers could be hitting in that position and bringing at least the potential for power.
Right.
Brett Phillips brings you potential for really nothing offensively. And it's one thing, Josh, it's one more comment about
either, because you don't want him as your late in a defensive replacement because you have Ryan McKenna.
Who's
and Ryan
really
McKenna
good.
Is not an but Ryan McKenna is not an everyday player.
Wow.
He is your late in a defensive replacement.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing Ryan McKenna as an everyday player, but that's just me. And it seems like now they're doing some kind of platoon with McKenna and Mullins, which, by the way, I'm a huge fan of. I think we should do that platoon all day, every day.
Mullins has been in a big slump.
Well,
so they want him to work his way out of it.
Well, he struggled against lefties, so put Ryan McKenna in there, who set lefties well. It seems to be, and I was used. But my point over Brett Phillips is, okay, if you want to make this argument that he's really good defensively, so we have him there defensively, that's okay if you're getting production out of every other part of the lineup. But right. Hayes has struggled the second half of the year. Mountcastle is only good when you play the Blue Jays. We talked about Nevins batting 201. Odor, even with being on fire lately, still only batting 206. Urias had a hot month of July, but now he's down to batting 244. And so if you want to have... I mean, this is lineup cannot afford another non-contributor offensively. We have too many weak offensive players that we can't afford another one. And that brings me to my... Like, I'm sorry. I mean, I see people say, like, That I saw someone tweet out that we don't need to sign Carlos Correa because we have Jorge Mateo. This team lacks two things. Well, no, it doesn't lack. It lacks a lot of things. But one thing I talked about all the time is this team has no depth whatsoever. And that's what's shown by when you trade Tremencini and you have no one to replace him with but Tyler Nevin. This team has no depth. When Ryan Mountcastle is hurt or Austin Hayes goes out, we have no one to replace him with, no talented players to replace these guys with. We lack depth. People get hurt. People need days off. And this team has Ryan McKenna, who I think is a really good piece. But outside of that, you look at this bench, you're like, there's no depth here. Offensively, I know people like to say, you know, we can roll out this team next year. You had Gunnar Henderson, and we don't need to sign any free agents because this offense is good. We're 19th in baseball on runs scored. 19th. That's not going to get it done, especially when your starting pitching is just kind of average, too. You look at OPS, look at the power numbers. Again, 19th. If you go, and I was doing this just as a thought experiment, because you look at it, okay, offensively, what positions do we need to upgrade? And so I was just looking kind of at war, position to position. Josh, we only have one position that we have a player in the top 10. Just one position. And, of course, that's Adley Rutschman, who's one guy. And he's played, by the way, 30 less games than all the other catchers. And he's still, like, I think, 5 in war. But every other guy, every other thing, you know, we have Jorge Mateo is having a great year, 13th in war. Santander is, like, 15th in war in his position. So if you look at position, and you want to have, I think in my mind, you want to have top 10, maybe a couple top 5 players in each position. And we're just not there yet at all. And so this idea that we're just a Gunnar Henderson away from being kind of a AL East contender is so silly to me. We need to sign players. We need to bring talent in along with the guys we're bringing up. I just don't think our offense is just a Gunnar Henderson away from being a top offense in baseball. I think we're a Gunnar Henderson, a Carlos Correa, and maybe getting rid of some of the cost hours, getting rid of Brett Phillips. I just think we're several pieces away from being that great, great offense. And I think, I mean, it's showing, right? It's shown over the past couple games.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that's also why, back to Mike Elias, it's why the quote you saw from this week was that the checkbook is open and wide open and the payroll is going to increase drastically and all those type of quotes. Because he knows you need to bring in those bats. You need to bring those guys in. We have a lot of guys to bring up and fill holes, but we don't have a dominant player outside of Adley.
Yeah, and that's my point, Josh. I feel like we have a lot of like pretty good players. Austin Hayes, pretty good player. Mullins, pretty good player.
Right.
Nankas, pretty good player. They're not all stars, right? They're not perennial all stars.
we don't have a team of five All-Stars.
No.
Back, we used to have, like, what, five, six? One season, didn't we have six All-Stars?
You would go back to the Roberto Alomar, Palmeiro, Ripken, yeah, that group, Messina.
Oh, no. And no, I'm not even going back that far. Didn't we have, like, Chris Davis and some other guys? Didn't we have, like, Chris Davis, J.J. Hardy, Machado?
No, I don't think we've ever had more than, like, maybe three during those years. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't really remember my All-Star appearances. Manny Machado was certainly in that list. Yeah, but maybe was, a Manny and Chris had, Davis and another guy. Maybe.
And we had multiple gold gloves. Like, we had good things going where it was more than one guy. You go back to there, and it was Chris Davis, Manny Machado, Matt Wieters. We had solid guys at all positions. There's a reason why right now everyone questions outside of Baltimore how this team's winning. Because there's Adley Rutschman.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's a bunch of pretty good players, and then also some bad players. Like, just look at Odor's numbers overall this year, Brett Phillips' numbers or Nevin's numbers. Like, we have average and then a bunch of terrible players.
Right, which is, goes back to that point of Mike Elias, your actions show that you don't think we're making the playoffs this year. Because if you think you're making the playoffs, you do whatever you can, because once you're in the playoffs, anything can happen. But the fact that Brett Phillips is still on this team, the fact that you made a move for Brett Phillips and 2 weeks later he's still on that team, shows you that you are not trying to win it in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, which is fine.
Odor, I can accept Odor because I know he's a clubhouse guy. Yeah, he's been there the whole season. Bringing Brett Phillips in makes no sense.
I mean, I can only accept Odor if you're not playing him every day, but maybe that's a high decision. I don't know why Vavra, who has just shown he can get on base all the time, why is Vavra not playing every day, and why is Odor not your bench piece in late
situations?
No, Odor
should be your bench piece. Yeah. Odor should be your bench piece, clutch hitting. I'm fine with the McKenna-Mullen split. Yeah, but you should have Stowers up here. Then suddenly you can rotate in. You bring up Stowers, then you can give Santander time off. Let him DH. You can make much more flexibility, a way better lineup, and a way better bench if you just brought a couple guys up.
Yeah, and this team, again, lacks, I said, ranked 19th in offense. We lack, we're even lower than that, I think, in home runs. We lack a punch. And Stowers, even if he's not as good as Brett Phillips defensively, he gives you that offensive punch, which you need because you're not getting it from other players. Especially now with Hayes struggling and Urias struggling a little bit.
What is the point of Nevins up here?
I mean, I think they like that he's right-handed, that he can play the corner infield positions. I think
they were trying to work out in Tampa. They were pregame working out with Vavra at first base.
Oh, they were working out Odor at third, and Odor even made an appearance at third base.
Yeah. So do you think maybe they're trying to be like, all right, well, if we can put Vavra at first, we can get rid of Nevins?
But Taylor Vavra is left-handed, and Nevins right-handed, and Hyde is super into these splits. So I think, no, I don't think, I think Vavra and
right, but if you send
Nevins
him
have
down,
two positions, they're two different positions.
All right.
Two different roles.
Okay, because then bringing Stowers up, you're still left, and I gotcha.
Yeah, it's still on the left.
But Brett Phillips for Stowers is a straight up trade.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that makes just
it's just a swap.
Too much
it's
sense.
Not a trade. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just that's the type of move Mike Elias should be able to make in his sleep. Our current roster, our current 40 man has 39 people on it, so there's a spot there for Stowers. You just gotta make the move.
Yeah. The other thing that we're being, and listen, we're very much alive in the playoff run. I don't want to sound super negative just because we're depressed
we're
over a bad weekend.
In the playoff run.
What's that?
Yeah, we're nitpicking in a playoff run.
Yeah, absolutely. We are. And that's why I started the show, and I'll go back there again. Like, I'm enjoying the ride. And I'm not, honestly, like, I'm complaining now, but I don't spend my free time complaining about Odor being in the lineup or whatever. Like, I don't. At the end of the day, I'm just thrilled that the Orioles are playing good baseball, and I'm happy about the Orioles. I've been wearing my Orioles cap everywhere, trying to get a little attention. I've been wearing it, and honestly, the past week, I got two comments about it. Both of them, though, were not really about it. both of them saw my hat and said, "Oh, are you a Ravens fan?" So okay, maybe that says something about Macon, but both of them were like, "Oh, you're from Baltimore. Are you a Ravens fan?" I said, "Yes, but I'm also an Orioles fan."
I like the duck.
Yeah.
But I get it. It's football season. People who aren't way into baseball right now are getting into football.
Yeah.
And especially with colleges starting to come back. You're in Georgia now, so
yeah.
This is all college football town or states. Everyone's getting excited. There's a lot of that going on down here in Florida. So
yeah, they care a lot more about college football than anything else. But the other, while I'm kind of griping about a couple of just minor things, let's get to the Dia Hall thing, Josh. And we can talk about...
All right.
First of all, let's start here. Do you have any issue? And maybe you don't because you were there. But should he have started at home? Is it fair to him for his first start to be in a kind of a playoff raced atmosphere type? Is that like a tough spot to put Dia Hall? How do you feel about the timing for the Dia Hall call up?
I would have liked it the week before at home, but I don't care. Dia Hall is from Valdosta, Georgia. Which is down here. I mean, you know, that's South Georgia. So this is kind of, if you want family and stuff to come to a game, it's not a bad place to have your first game.
Yeah. His family looked freaking stressed out watching him pitch.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't really blame him. He looked very chill and relaxed pregame. He was not very worried. I did watch him in pregame. He had like a, you know, those things that they clip onto something and then they stretch their arms out like the armbands.
Yep.
And you do like that butterfly pose with them.
Sure.
He couldn't find a place to clip it out on the field. So finally he came on over to the sideline and in front of a bunch of fans, he just clipped it to the net. Hmm. And then just started working out right there with his back to the fans, which struck me as odd. I'm like, so it's your first time and you are just going to, all these Oriole fans who are super excited because there's got some high hopes for you, and you're going to sit there and do your back stretches right in front of them like that. I thought that was pretty interesting. I also noticed that when he went and did his warm-ups in the bullpen, that all the Oriole pitchers circled up to watch. So there's definitely been talk about the stuff that he has. I don't care that it was on the road. It's fine. It was cool for me that I got to see it. I did, after the looking back and after the struggles, I did think about a guy like Adley Rutschman and how we talk about how we'll give Adley a month. I think it took him 2 weeks to get settled in. And yet we bring a pitcher up from the minors and we expect him to perform in his first game. And I do think there's a little bit of that where it's like, was it the right time? I don't know. Here's what I don't get. And this is probably where you're going to. We're probably on the same page. Is the usage, announcing the usage after making him a starter. What's the point of letting him start one game to then go out and say, we're going to use him out of the bullpen the rest of the season?
Yeah, and even the talk before the game confuses me a little bit where Hyde's all like, well, I don't know how we're going to use him. He's here in Tampa. Right. I don't know how we're going to use him. And then he starts the next day. Well, if you knew he was going to start the next day, just say he's going to start the next day. Sometimes you get too cute with this. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to use him. You know how you're going to use him. So stop acting like, oh, this is a surprise. It's not like the Orioles all of a sudden saw him play one start, had him play one start and said, okay, we're changing everything. He's going to the bullpen. No, like, this was the plan all the time. So stop acting like you don't know what you're doing because you do. There's a plan here.
Right. There was a plan. And I don't mind him in the bullpen. I like the idea of him in the bullpen, a young guy who you're limited in and give him experience in the bullpen, let him come out that way. I like that. But I don't understand giving him a start and then going to the bullpen. If you want him to be a starter, make him a starter. Why let him start then go to the bullpen? It's kind of almost a demotion. I'm sure they had to talk with him beforehand of, hey, after this one start, we're going to use you in the bullpen. And I don't know, maybe it's so that to declare that, hey, in the next year, he's one of our arms in our rotation, that you put him in the rotation now so we don't have a whole offseason of, is he a bullpen guy?
Yeah.
Do you think it's that? Do you think it's he's such a high prospect that it's, like, embarrassing to put him in the bullpen?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you're going way faster than I was anticipating. I also wanted to talk about who's catching and his appearance, but fine, we can go to how.
No, I have a huge problem with the catching as well.
But as far as his what they're doing starting in the bullpen, I actually am okay with it. I think it makes sense. I like the fact that they let him get one start in. I mean, I think a big concern with the Orioles, I think there's two things here. One is the innings limit, right? Where the year before, he only threw 30 innings. 2020, he didn't throw at all, obviously, because of that season. So the past 2 years, he's only thrown 31 innings total. This year is already up to 77. This allows him to, I don't know, hit 100 or something, but keep his innings down. That's, to me, the Dia Hall story. The biggest takeaway this whole season is going to be, assuming everything goes well, you know, the last month, is that Dia Hall has stayed healthy the whole season. To me, that's a bigger story than anything else because he's been hurt so much. The fact that Dia Hall stayed healthy the whole season is the biggest story. With that said, again, if you're looking, what's going to help my team? Honestly, in a playoff hunt, Dia Hall is too inconsistent right now as a starter that I think I would prefer him out of the bullpen figuring things out. This gives you the chance to. I don't think they're going to use him in high-level situations. I think he's going to be like that guy when you need two or three innings in a blowout situation. So it allows him to kind of get used to pitching the majors without being a starter and pitching these high-level situations in a playoff race. So I think it's a really good position for him. I'm also okay with him sending him back to Norfolk to kind of, adjust to the reliever role because I think it is a bit of an adjustment. So you have him in the bullpen down the stretch. He can get used to pitching in the majors for the rest of the season. Then he comes back next year and is hopefully competing for an opening day starting pitching rotation. Like he's still a starter. This is about limiting your innings. And also, I don't know if he's your best starting option at this point. I would feel more comfortable, honestly, at this point, with probably of Austin Voth than I would a Dia Hall, just because that is where he's at in his career. So I'm okay with how they're using him, and I'm okay that he even got a start. I think good for him. Let him have the experience, and now help us out in the bullpen the rest of the season. I'm okay with all of it.
All right, I agree with that, but you're right. You brought up earlier, and it is an issue, and it is. I don't know if it's manager Hyde being too cute.
No, I think it's an oversight. I think it's one of the dumbest oversights by manager Hyde
oversight?
Of the entire season. Yes, I think he messed it up.
But how did he mess it up? Every single Oriole fan noticed it immediately, and he not fixed it before they actually handed off rosters.
Yeah, I mean, it makes on so many levels. It makes sense to have Adley Rutschman back there, right? They know each other because they pitched to each other before. What's Adley Rutschman's strength? Pitch framing. What's Dia Hall's weakness? Accuracy.
Location.
Location. And all of a sudden, you have a great pitch framer to help with location. Instead, you have Chirinos, who has no experience with Dia Hall, doesn't know his stuff, doesn't always throw, and can't frame at all, so can't help Dia Hall out at all on those border pitches. Doesn't know his stuff. Rutschman knows all Dia Hall's stuff because he caught him a ton before. I mean, I was at the game. Josh, I was at the game where they were doing rehab together at Aberdeen. I saw Dia Hall this year.
That's
Dia Hall pitched to Rutschman at Aberdeen, and I thought, oh, this is so great. And then when they were called up to Boo together, I thought, this is fantastic.
That was the conversation we had, was we thought, okay, you move them up together.
Yes, it's so smart because they get to know each other. Well, you invest all that time in doing that, and then Dia Hall for a start, you don't even have Rutschman catch, you have Chirinos catch. What are you doing, Hyde? It was just so dumb. And I think you did it because he wasn't thinking day game after night game and just kind of doing what you always do, not accounting for the fluid situation that happened with your players.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No, I don't. It wasn't an oversight. He did it on purpose. I think he was trying to be too cute and say, oh, I got a rookie pitcher. I'm going to put the veteran behind the plate. And he was trying to be cute. And I think that was his logic. Though it makes no sense. Because it couldn't have been an oversight because he had so many opportunities where he could have fixed it, where he could have changed it. It was not – he could have changed it at any point leading up to handing those cards off. And Mike Elias, you think he doesn't pay attention? He could have saw the lineup and called down and said, Brandon, what are you doing? Give Adley off tomorrow. You have a day game tomorrow also. Give him off tomorrow.
Yep. Could the day before, the other day? Like, you got other days.
Any day but this.
Yeah.
Bump DL Hall. If you really need Adley to have Saturday off, bump DL Hall to Sunday.
Yeah. It's so dumb. And it puts us as fans in this weird position, given the lineup construction, which, again, I don't know how much influence Mike Elias. Like, I assume, just given kind of the new wave of GMs, that the GMs have a lot of say, not just in roster, but they have a lot of say in lineup construction and all that too, right? Like, I assume Mike Elias. Josh, you think Mike Elias has a say with the lineup?
Yes.
Yeah, I assume so, too.
Yeah, I think he has. Definitely has a say.
But I wonder, Hyde is going to be up for – if the Orioles make the playoffs, Hyde wins the manager of the year. It's a done deal if the Orioles make the playoffs.
And this is what's so frustrating for us Orioles fans is we can argue day to day, he's manager of the year, manager of the year, manager of the year. Then he does something completely stupid.
Yeah.
That any of us could have managed differently. Yeah. And I don't get it.
I know, and I feel like it's weird because on the one hand, like props to manager Hyde for sticking with this team, for getting this team to compete every night, for creating a culture. Like, I think this is the manager should get credit for creating a winning culture. Yes. That everyone's kind of bought into. With that said, though, yeah, I'm with you, Josh, where there's decisions almost every day, whether it's the lineup, whether it's who's catching, whether it's kind of, I mean, I thought they should have intentionally walked that guy yesterday. That, like, there's just decisions every day where I'm like, I don't know about that. I wish you would have chose differently. And maybe that's true with every manager, but it seems like now that we're in the playoff hunt, like, not only are the players being tested, but this is also like you're testing your manager. Like, your manager is being tested, as this is the first time that manager Hyde has had to really manage in high leverage situations. And I think there's a big difference. I think there's a big difference in managing in high leverage games compared to managing in games that don't matter. I just don't know if manager Hyde thinks there's a difference, because it seems to me that manager Hyde is managing the same way, whether we're, you know, a game on the playoffs,
except,
or whether we're 30 games on the playoffs. And I think there should be a difference with how we use personnel and
stuff. But what makes it even more confusing for me is he used like 50 different roster like lineups. It's not like he goes with the same thing. Okay, on Saturdays, this is our lineup.
Right. It's not like a Buck Showalter
thing. So many times.
Yeah.
Right. That it's not even predictable.
Right. Right. It's like, so it feels very counter. Much to me, Josh, like he's, and maybe this is not true. Maybe it's Elias and whatever, but just, it seems to me that he doesn't know what to do, that he's trying a bunch of stuff, but still, like, I still feel like almost every day, like, it's, I don't know the last time I saw the lineup and said, you know, that's the lineup. And part of it's now because Mountcastle's out. Like, if Mountcastle was in, our lineup would be better, obviously. Or he's in today. Is he playing today? Yeah.
Very well.
Okay, he was.
You don't watch the game, so I'm being polite to you. He's playing.
Well,
fine.
He's playing the Blue Jays, so I assume he's having a good game. But he didn't play that day because of his hand contusion or whatever. Yeah. But he
does do great in Canada.
Yeah.
Yes, I will give you that.
All right. But no. So to wrap up our conversation, DL Hall, Rutschman should have called. DL Hall was demoted. Also, can I just one other comment about this? Just wrapping it up.
Yeah.
I just feel bad again for Nick Vespi. It's screwed again because when DL Hall got up.
Yeah.
Nick Vespi, who I really like a lot and think can be a good piece, was sent down to AAA again. I assume he'll be back up at some point.
He will be.
But then DL Hall was sent down. I guess he'll be down in the minors for a couple weeks, and then we'll see him as that bullpen piece. But again, I hope not at the cost of Nick Vespi, but I guess when rosters expand in September, you can keep Vespi and Hall in that bullpen. And so I guess September call-ups, when the rosters expand, you'll call up Hall.
But remember, it's now only like a two-person.
You get two more guys, yeah.
Right.
You get, it goes from 26 to 28, I think, or something.
Right.
So you get Hall and then Stowers, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. But I guess they'll make the decision in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll find out. But we're nitpicking and we're complaining a lot today. But we're a game out of the game out of playoffs.
Yeah,
we're happy.
No, we are.
We've already this week. We won our 58th game, right? Don't we have 58 wins, or are we at 59? I think something like that. Either way, it was what ESPN predicted us to have for the entire season.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm feeling. I bet 61.5. I bet the over on my bookie. I'm feeling pretty good about that bet.
Yeah, I wish I would have gotten in on that bet. I don't think I did.
Well,
I did get in on some AL East or AL division bets, but I'm not feeling great about that. As good as the 61.5. 61.5 was a great line.
Yeah, that Buster only said he'll bet the farm the Orioles won't reach.
Oh, I wish I took that bet, Buster.
Yeah, the other big bet I made is for Adley Rutschman, Rookie of the Year. And he's making a good run at it, Josh. It's just that Julio Rodriguez for Seattle.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can catch him, which is a shame.
But with Rodriguez going, there's not even talk of Adley.
I know. So I'm hoping for like an over 32 slump or something.
All right.
Because that's injury. The only chance that Adley has to even make a dent into Julio's huge lead.
No. But hey, Adley is automatically MVO. He's the MVO this year. No question.
Yeah.
Even with a month left of baseball or a month and a half left, he's already written in as the MVO. There's no one else to vote for on this team.
Yeah. And by the way, we're 59 wins. Okay.
All right, good. So we've outperformed.
Yeah.
Will my bookie pay you this week, or do they make you wait till the end of the season?
End of the season. Which is a shame because I can't bet on football games until I get my money from this. So I'm going to be a little late betting the football games.
I will say the Orioles definitely screwed me and my bookie account this weekend in Tampa.
Oh, yeah. See, I haven't put any money in the whole season. And and I was just thinking, crap, I could have been winning some money because I just always been the Orioles. And they've been doing so well, beating the odds. I probably would have lost it all again anyway. But I'm betting this year.
Here's what the Orioles do to my bookie account. When I bet low, they win. When I get cocky and say, oh, I'm putting 30, 40 bucks on this game, they lose.
Yeah.
So then that's just, but if I do $5, they'll win.
They win.
They'll win, and I'll get my $6 payout.
Yeah. Josh, you were at the game on Sunday. They were two outs away from a perfect game. I shared with you the stats.
Such a torn.
Has been one in 10 years.
Such a torn way to be there. Yeah. Such a weird thing as an opponent there.
We once saw
a no-hitter.
Yeah, Hideo Nomo pitch a no-hitter for the Red Sox against Orioles at Camden Yards.
Yeah.
Josh, was there any part of you rooting to see history a perfect game, or were you excited when Mateo hit that double to break it up?
It would be cool to see history. I was never rooting for history. It was interesting to see the crowd because the game was moving fast. And it was and you know how those goes when it's dominant pitching, it's a fast moving game.
Right.
So the game's moving fast. It's kind of boring because the Rays aren't scoring many runs either. It's not like it's a blowout or anything.
The bullpen actually the bullpen threw like five shutout innings for the Orioles. They were locked down.
I mean that one pitch, that 3-run shot made the difference in the game.
Yeah.
But he's dominating, and it got interesting because. It wasn't a game that, like, it didn't feel like a no-hitter. It felt like the Orioles were just playing poorly. And then I guess, I don't know when I was texting with you, probably the sixth, seventh inning about it. And then it was like the crowd still wasn't into it. And then it must have been the bottom of the seventh, no, the eighth inning, when he comes back out, suddenly the crowd's into it. And you hear the crowd getting loud.
Oh, everyone kind of realizes, every strike yeah,
out, every out. Suddenly, it's like everyone got a little Twitter. I don't know if the MLB sent out a notification, the little push notification saying, hey, the little eyes.
Yeah.
Because
I saw a tweet by Jeff Passan saying everybody, I'm not going to say anything, but everyone should be watching Tampa Bay versus Baltimore right now.
Really interesting. I went to the bathroom around the same time. And the Rays broadcast crew, you know, when you leave the stadium and go in the back, you hear the TV broadcast,
yes,
or the radio broadcast, and their plug was coming back after these commercials. We'll be back and see if we can get this and see if magic happens and we see a perfect game today. And that was going into the ninth inning, the break right between, and I was like, what happened to the whole baseball rule of you don't say it?
Yeah, I think at some point I think that goes out the window, but. Yeah, no. And Rasmussen was on like
I was more.
He was threw like 80 pitches or something into the ninth inning. Like he wasn't throwing that many pitches at all either.
No, I was more excited about Friday night when Volth took a no hitter into the fifth. Yeah. I was way more excited about that. That I noticed was happening.
Yeah, agreed.
So it would have been cool to see history, but it was kind of also fun to stand up and cheer when Mateo got that hit. As a whole bunch of fans in the stadium are just pissed, and he gets that hit, and it's like half the fans stood up and walked out of the stadium.
Yeah.
It was like, I got to beat traffic now.
Yeah, because at that point, the game wasn't that close.
It was 4-1.
It was last inning, yeah.
Yep.
But as Oriole fans,
and it was you just never what knew. Happened? Something happened, but it was interesting because Mateo got that hit, and then, who was it? Was it Phillips? It might have been Phillips that got to first base on a passed ball.
Oh, yeah, he struck out and still got the first. Ball. Yeah, yeah.
And I turned to Kelly at that point and I said, this Orioles season has been really weird this year. It would not surprise me if the Orioles won this game at this point because so many strange things have happened with this team. Now, it didn't turn out that way. And the game ended two batters later.
Yeah, and there would have been...
Or maybe one batter later. Might have been a double play.
And there would have been something kind of hilarious, though, Josh, about thinking about this, about Mateo got the hit, right? And then Phillips came in and struck out and got to first. So he would have... So Brett Phillips could have broken up a perfect game by striking out and running to first, which would have been hilarious.
Oh, no, I had that conversation as well when Phillips was in the... on deck circle, because I told same thing talking to Kelly during the game. I said I would not let Phillips bat. I would pull anyone off the bench than Phillips, because I do not want Phillips in his position to break up a perfect game, because the only thing Phillips can do is keep that bat on his shoulder and give him an opportunity to strike him out.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's friends with all those guys. He's friends with Rasmus. He cannot swing at a pitch there.
Yeah.
It's an awkward situation, and I would not have let him bat.
Well, in his defense, he could
Once
try
Mateo
his best.
Got the hit, it didn't matter.
He could try his level best, and he still wasn't going to hit it because he's Brett Phillips, and he's batting 145.
I know.
So I don't really would have mattered.
But everybody lucks into something.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But, I mean, I think at some point this offseason maybe, we're also going to have to kind of revisit some of these conversations. I hinted before, like, that Mateo has stepped up and had a great year, one of the best defensive shortstops in baseball. Offensively, after a rough first half, has been a lot better the second half of the year, batting like over 300. And he could be a really nice piece on this team, where I think going into the season, we didn't realize it. Austin Voth, right, who no one would have pegged because he was with the Nationals. And even when we picked him up, it was like, what are you doing, Orioles? But now all of a sudden, Austin Voth looks like a legitimate option for your starting rotation. I mean, I think there's several guys that were not on the radar at all going into this season that all of a sudden have kind of maybe earned themselves at least the opportunity to fight for starting spots on next year's team, no matter who we signed. Well, so I think that's going to be to see how guys like Voth and Watkins and Kramer pitch down here in the stretch run, the playoff run. They're not just playing for the rest of this year. Like, you add Grayson Rodriguez, and you add a free agent. Like, that starting rotation is starting to get crowded. And so.
And Kyle Bradish?
And Kyle Bradish. So all of a sudden, that starting rotation looks a little bit crowded when you add back, I even mentioned John Means. You throw in John Means, Grayson Rodriguez. It gets a little bit crowded. Hopefully, a free agent.
Right, exactly. We still want a dominant pitcher.
Yeah.
So we want to bring in a free agent. We have John Means, Grayson Rodriguez, DL Hall.
Assuming Jordan Lyles is back.
What? That's five.
Yep.
You just filled it up. Now, Means might not be ready opening day. Okay, so you got a month. But that's a full rotation.
Yeah. And then and that's not including, you didn't name all the guys who are pitching now, pretty much. Bradish,
I didn't mention this year's rotation.
Oh, and Wells. Tyler Wells has to be part of the starting rotation. You didn't mention him.
How? How can you bring a guy in, have John Means, Grayson Rodriguez, DL Hall, Tyler Wells, Jordan Lyles?
Yeah. I mean,
it doesn't make sense. It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah. But that's what you want, because you have, listen, the fact that John Means, Grayson Rodriguez got hurt is not like, oh my gosh, the Orioles are cursed. Like last year with the Ravens were cursed. It's not like two players get hurt on your rotation is normal. I mean, Chris Sale, is he the dude that just like fell off his bike or something, is out for the year?
Yeah.
Like this stuff happens all the time where players get hurt. So you need to have depth, something the team has not had for a long time. But it looks like next year, both with the emergence of Hall and Rodriguez, hopefully, the return of Means, maybe Bradish taking the next step, you may actually have something like depth, and it'd be interesting. Voth, Bradish, where do the guys fit into next year's rotation? But I think they have the rest of the season to prove, kind of in these high competitive games. I'm going to be really curious to see how they pitch.
Yeah. And it's interesting now to see, now that we're done with Tampa, it's nice to kind of check them off as like no more AL East games with Tampa.
Yeah, I'm happy. I don't like playing Tampa.
No, I don't like playing Tampa either.
Arena, I hope I never see them again.
We got Toronto now. We've suddenly been playing really well against Toronto, which is great. We got Boston this weekend, which I know they won the one game, but that was kind of a crammed in game in our schedule. We had to go to them. This is Boston, 2/3 of the game at home. We should be all right. We have that Little League World Series game on Sunday up in Williamsport where we play Boston.
Oh, really? Is that one of the games?
That's why I was saying 2/3 of it.
They're Sunday, all listed next Sunday, as home on the schedule.
We have Sunday. We play at 7:10, but it's in Williamsport.
Oh, is that going to be the ESPN game?
It's the ESPN game.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be interesting to see. How much do you think those ESPN reporters are hoping that the Orioles fall apart this week so they don't have to talk about how the Orioles are a legit contender?
Oh, Buster Olney. If Buster Olney has to call that game with the Orioles in a playoff spot, he's going to be ticked.
Exactly. Exactly. And after that, we got the White Sox, Astros, Cleveland.
Yeah, the White Sox, huge playoff implications because the White Sox are right in the playoff hunt as well.
Right. Houston's not really playoff issues because they're going to win their division.
But yeah, but they're fighting with the Yankees for the overall best record and home field advantage.
Right. And I believe you think we're going to catch up and pass the Yankees, right?
Yeah, that's my plan.
I mean, the way the Yankees are playing lately, maybe. And then after that, we got Cleveland.
The Guardians, another team in the playoff hunt.
Another team. Oakland, not in the playoff hunt. Toronto, Boston, Washington, Toronto, Detroit. That's a good stretch. That should be a stretch of fun baseball for 2 weeks.
Boston, Washington, Toronto, Detroit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Then we got Houston, tough. Boston, 4 games. We should be fine. New York, 3 games tough. Toronto, 3 games tough. So I haven't gone through, but we have a month and a half left of baseball. We had a winning month in June, a winning month in July. We could get a winning month in August, and there's no reason we couldn't get a winning month in September. It's shocking how this is playing out. You trying to count? You're trying to pick a number of wins?
No, we got. I was doing the record for August. We got 8 wins in August. Then we have what? 1, 2, 3, 4 losses. So 8-4 in August. Yeah. We're looking pretty good in August.
8-4 in August?
That's what I got, yeah.
With 13 games left?
Yeah. But
we're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, but I mean, and this is a long season. We'll find out how good the Orioles are. Yeah. We can go, but I mean, every game, I mean, Toronto playoff team. Boston, I know they're a little bit on the outside, but if they get hot, they could still make a run at the playoffs. I'm tired of people writing teams off. Hey, you've seen teams win 10 in a row. It was not out of the question. So Boston, you know they're going to be playing hard, trying to get back in the playoff hunt. The White Sox, playoff team. Houston, playoff team. Guardians, playoff hunt team. Like, these are, this is no Reds now for the rest of the month. Like, the rest of the month is full of good teams competing for playoff spots, and we're going to find out who the Orioles are. But again, we'll go back to where we started. It's just, it's frustrating sometimes when we'll find out how good they are, and you see Brett Phillips in the lineup. No, that's not right. How good the Orioles are. We are better than that. So let's put the I hope we put the best lineup we can on the field. Josh, we often see on Mondays promotions being made in the minors, and there were some promotions in the minors, but no call ups from Norfolk on the off day. But maybe this time next week we'll be talking about. I think Kyle Stowers makes sense to be the next guy up here, but we'll see.
He does. I mean, he makes, but he's made too much sense. I mean, they're not going to bring anyone up into Toronto. Maybe Stowers doesn't have the shot. No, he was the fill-in.
He was for Santander, who now has the shot. No, yeah. Our entire team is now vaccinated.
Right. The 40-man. He's not on the 40-man. I guarantee there's some minor leaguers that are not vaccinated.
Yeah, but yeah, maybe. But the other thing about the 40-man is you can make the argument that you don't bring up Kyle Stowers because the 40-man. But I would point out here that we now have 39 people on the 40-man. So that we do have one open roster spot for a 40-man guy.
Right. No, I agree. And they're not going to bring anyone up while in Toronto. So your next opportunity is
barring injury. Yeah.
Barring injury. Your next opportunity is Friday. Home game against the Boston Red Sox after an off day.
No, you don't have an off day. You got the Cubs for the one game.
Oh, I printed this schedule out at the beginning of the season. I forgot the Cubs, and that's in Baltimore, right?
Yeah, that's finishing off that one game, and then there was the rain.
Yeah, the split.
Yeah,
right. We won the first game. All right, I forgot about that game. I guess I should update my schedule. All right, but either way, coming back for that Cubs game is a great opportunity for Stowers because you're squeezing in a game there where you were planning an off day. So you got guys you're going to want to give a rest there after this stretch. So that would make a sense, bring Stowers up there. You got that extra man. And then you can give Santander a day off or at least get him a DH slot.
Yep, so watch that Norfolk lineup. See if Kyle Stowers is ever out. That could be a sign that he's coming to Baltimore.
Yeah.
Speaking of updates, Josh.
New guy Thursday instead of new guy Friday.
Yeah, well, wasn't D.L. Hall, it was announced that he was coming up, I think, on Friday, right?
Yeah, and he came up. Yeah, and then he came up on Saturday.
Yeah, but they announced it on Friday to stick with the new guy Friday.
Which I didn't even mention. I didn't even mention Saturday's game. I met up with Zany Burt Rohde.
Oh, nice.
At Saturday's game. So I had a nice catch up with him. I'm trying to convince him to come back to the show.
All right.
Like, come on back like once a month. And we have like the first of every month, we get the Zany Burt Rohde or something back.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get him back.
Yeah. Now that the Orioles are good again, he's watching more games, he should come back.
He's way into the Orioles again now that they're doing well.
Yeah.
Oh. And I would have loved to have his take as we roll into Ravens season, especially with the prospect of Joe Flacco coming playing week one.
Yeah, that's so wonderful. I'm debating Joe Flacco plays, who to root for. So we'll talk about that later, though.
Because, that goes more to how we love when Birdland freaks out.
Yeah.
And that's more of watching that the Lamar Joe and knowing how Twitter will go if Joe Flacco wins. That's what you're thinking about.
I just love Joe Flacco so much, and I just think it's hilarious.
I do like him.
And
we'll get to that though if it happens.
Yeah. No, but oh, I wonder. And with the whole D.L. Hollister, we never really talked about his performance, though. I know we're going to run over here a little bit, but can I just say, I thought D.L. Hall pitched really well. I was super impressed with D.L. Hall. I know they got some cheap hits off him, and I know he struggled with location a little bit, but for his first start, I was super impressed with D.L. Hall. He's got strikeout stuff, you can tell, and I'm just pumped about the future of D.L. Hall.
Yeah, Santander was in left field that game and making just some stupid angles at the ball.
Yeah, there's the ball that he should have got to that rolled past him. There was some dink. I mean, he only gave up five hits. There was just some dink hits. It just wasn't going his way. But he had that inning where he struck at the side. Like, I just think his stuff plays, and you can just tell by the type of swings people are getting him. He has a great fastball, great secondary pitches. And for his first start, I'm okay with it. I think D.L. Hall is going to be really, really good. So I'm excited about D.L. Hall. All right. Josh, let's get to it. We're wrapping up the show. Before we wrap up the show, PlayStation update. Last week you dropped a bomb live on the podcast. A bomb that there's a Facebook group about this dude.
Yeah. So this may be the last PlayStation update.
Oh, no.
So I did drop a bomb. And if you remember, I was a little hesitant about dropping the bomb because we were streaming on Facebook.
As one should be when everyone drops a bomb. You should do it hesitantly if you're ever going to drop a bomb.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he found the podcast on Facebook and found the part where we talk about him.
It's hilarious to me that he's a listener, too. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And then...
I guess even scammers like to listen to good entertaining podcasts. So, whatever.
Right.
Get us that download number.
What happened is the next day, half my money showed up.
Oh, wow.
In cash. He showed up to the house. I thought he was bringing the systems. It was half my money.
You thought he was... First of all, he showed up to your house. Your first thought was he's bringing the system. My first thought would be like he's coming to fight me after I dropped a bomb on the podcast. Thought would be he's bringing the systems.
Oh, I'm way too nice to this guy.
Yeah.
All right. So then the Facebook group...
But half the money was out about...
Then the Facebook group finds out about the podcast as well. The Facebook group, the admin of the Facebook group then starts private messaging the guy's wife about it.
About the podcast?
About my money and telling his wife about how her husband owes Josh money and these other people money and how he only paid Josh half. And this guy's messaging the PlayStation guy's wife.
What, on Facebook?
Facebook Messenger. Okay. Yeah. Then it rolls over into the neighborhood group where people are commenting about the scammer in the neighborhood. Because
all these scammers are members of the neighborhood. All these scams, the victims are all in the neighborhood.
Yeah, because he's scamming everyone that lives like in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, you don't scam your neighbors. Yeah.
And the neighborhood, so someone posted on the neighborhood group, hey, I got these barn doors for sale. And he posted, I'd like to buy them. So then everyone was commenting on him, being like, hey, instead of giving that money to the barn doors, how about you pay me back? How about you pay me back?
Yeah.
Then someone else... Then the person I'm not allowed to talk about on this podcast posted, get in line. So some other people got scammed that I'm not related to anymore as well, apparently. But anyway, so it turned into all this. Then they're messaging his wife and harassing his wife about the money on my behalf.
You should never message the wife. It's not the wife's problem that she married this dude.
So...
Back off the wife.
So the PlayStation scammer then calls me while I'm in Tampa. This was Saturday. Calls me while I am in the trop. And's like, I'm bringing the rest of your money over now. I said, oh, no, I'm out of town. He goes, well, I got to give it to you now. So you can Venmo me. No, I got the cash for you. I got to give it to you now.
Yeah, this guy only deals in cash.
He said, I'm bringing it.
Straight cash.
I'm bringing it to your house. I said, I'm in Tampa. So he said, well, who's at your house? Someone's at your house. I said, oh, my mother-in-law's there. He said, well, I'm giving it to her, and then I need a message from you to say that I do not owe you any money so that I can show my wife. So the other half got delivered on Saturday to my house. So now I have all the money I gave him.
You got all your money back.
Exactly the amount that I paid him back 17 months. So I basically gave him an interest-free loan for 17 months. But
hold on. I feel bad now. I can't call this guy a scammer anymore if you got your money back. That's not a good scam.
No, he's still it's a horrible scam.
But you got your money back.
He's still a scammer.
Okay.
Oh, you think this came out of his bank account? I'm sure he went and lied to someone else to get money. Here's the thing.
There's someone new to
this Facebook
scammer.
Group.
Facebook.
I now have this Facebook group that keeps growing.
Yeah.
And this Facebook group, almost called the guy when I was trying to look up the Facebook group. The Facebook group keeps growing. It's now 30 members deep.
To become a member of this group, Josh, do you have to have been an actual victim, or can anyone join?
Yes. No, you have to be a victim.
You have to show some credentials.
Well, if they come in and they're not a victim, they get kicked out of the group.
Yeah.
So we now have 30 victims. When you join the Facebook group, the question is, how did Rick scam you? Oop, that didn't say first time I've said his name on this podcast. Might have to bleep that part out.
Yeah, you're kind of admitting that you're a sucker. This is a Facebook group for suckers. I think all the other scammers are going to look at this Facebook group for guys that they can scam in the future.
Anyway, here's my question for you.
Yeah.
Remember, about a year ago, when I first shared this with you, I said, hey, I should do a podcast.
Right, we just read the text.
Read the text and read the lies.
Yeah.
Well, now there's a whole new, and I kind of shut that down. Now there's a whole new angle that I have 30 people.
Yeah. A lot of interviews
that I have
potential.
I have 30 interviews that I can do and mix in. And now I'm starting to think maybe there should be a 10-episode series about the neighborhood scammer.
Yeah.
So podcasts might be back on the table now that it's really grown into more than just a bad friend, to just a bad friend to many people and a bad neighbor, who I hear is now putting a fence up in his yard.
Well,
which seems like the classic ending to pissing off all your neighbors.
Yeah.
There's also talk of a barbecue in his neighbor's yard before the fence goes up.
Okay.
Just for people who have been scammed.
Oh, yeah. Get together.
A get together.
A victims where we anonymous all have, get
the
together.
The one thing we have in common is the guy next door is a jerk.
Yeah. So all right. Well,
that's the final PlayStation update until I'm ready to run a commercial for the new podcast I'm launching.
Yeah. All right. Well, Josh, I've enjoyed this whole podcast. PlayStation updates. This podcast will never be the same without the PlayStation
Epilogue.
Updates. But we had a good run. Yeah. We had a good run with this segment.
It was good. It was a good run. I appreciate everyone's comments and prayers and all that over the last 17 months. It's been nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get out of here. You can write us a review on iTunes. You can support us on section336.com, Patreon. Enjoy this Orioles playoff run, playoff hunt with Section 336. We're with you every step of the way. Maybe
lots
not on Monday
off.
Nights. I can talk to you about that, Josh, after the show.
Yeah, we've been kind of adjusting all summer with all of our personal stuff going on. So we'll adjust our release date again. But we'll still be weekly.
Yep. Yeah.
We got too much stuff to talk about every week.
Oh yeah, lots to talk about. All right.
But yeah, I've been putting up lots of new shirts on section336.com and gonna continue to roll that out. So keep going over there.
Oh yes.
Even working out a deal to get them cheaper.
Oh nice.
So hopefully we'll see that soon as well.
Yeah, I need to get one of those section 36 shirts.
Yeah, you should. You mean the new ones?
Yeah, one of the new ones. I got the old ones.
I'll show you after the show one that I just designed using that new logo. That's pretty slick.
All right. I'll check it out. So. All right. You can follow us on Twitter for all our updates and posting our shirts and stuff. The Twitter handle at Section 336 Show. You can follow me on Twitter at Section 336. You can follow Josh on Twitter
at Josh Soroka.
Thanks for listening, boys and girls. And as always, go O's. Yeah.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.